Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is the Gospel reading from St. John. Please be seated. One of the advantages of using the Church's historic lectionary is that we encounter the same Bible texts year after year. This enables us to really dig down deep into the readings which have formed the church for centuries and represent the chief articles of the Christian faith over the course of an entire year. Today is one of those Sundays in particular that I look forward to every year because it gives us an opportunity on a Sunday to reflect about what the Lord's Word says about prayer. In fact, that's what Rogate, the name of the Sunday, the Latin name of the Sunday, means. It means to ask. It is taken from the Latin translation of part of our gospel reading, where Jesus says these words: "In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." As Christians, we have the comfort of hearing the voice of our Good Shepherd clearly. In the Bible, which is the inspired Word of God, our Lord, our Heavenly Father, speaks to us. That's what inspired actually means. The Greek word for inspired is, get your dictionaries out, is theopneustos, which can be translated quite literally as God breathed. So when we say that the Bible is inspired, we mean that God breathed it out, or he gave it to be written. If you ever wonder what God says about something, or you wish that God would speak to you, you don't have to look any further than the sacred scriptures. This is why we have the liturgical practice of saying, after the readings of a divine service, "This is the word of the Lord." It is a confession that the scripture readings that we hear are not man's word. They're not my opinions or the opinions of the church, but they are in fact God's holy word. The corollary to this is that as God speaks to us, he also gives us the ability to speak back to him. In Psalm 50:15, for instance, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And so, like a father who likes to listen to his kids talk about their day, our Heavenly Father loves to hear from us, his dear children. This year, I'd like to take a closer look in particular at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer as an example of what our Lord bids us to do in our gospel reading for today. If you would, please open your hymnals to page 323. We're going to look at the small catechism portion of the Lord's Prayer. Page 323, you're going to find the first petition of the Lord's Prayer kind of in the lower right-hand corner of that page. Just like in catechism class, we're going to recite this, so you will need your glasses. I saw that. All right. What is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? What does this mean? How is God's name kept holy?
God is spotless in truth and purity, and we
So far the text. This petition teaches us about the holiness of God's name. As we've just confessed together as God's people, His name is already holy. There's nothing that we can do to add to the holiness of God's name or even to take away from it. It is holy in and of itself. This is why God gives us the second commandment, to protect the holiness of His name among His people. For you see, the world does not see God's name as a holy thing. This is why it is so often used as a swear word among us. I do, by the way, find it rather interesting that nobody uses the names of Allah or Zeus or Buddha as swear words. It's always the name of the God of the Bible. But God wants us, His people, to use His name rightly. That is, to call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. The name of God ought to be central to the Christian life and our understanding of the Christian faith. It is into God's holy name that we are baptized. This is most often the first encounter that we have with God, is with His holy name given to us in the waters of baptism. To know God's name is to know more than just what we should call Him, but it is also a revelation of who He is. He is the God and Father who created us and all things, gives us our bodies and souls, etc. He is the Son, who by His blood redeemed us from sin and death. And He is the Holy Spirit, who by the waters of holy baptism has made us His dwelling place. When God places His name upon us, we become His and He becomes ours. We are marked as His own. But with this calling comes a rather high and important responsibility. Preachers, that's me, they are to make sure that they conform their teaching to God's word and not deviate from it even one little bit. If they do, if I do, I will have to answer for it on the last day. But likewise, you who sit in the pews, whose duty and responsibility it is to hear the word of God, is to make sure that you only listen to the pure proclamation of the gospel. This means that we aren't allowed to listen to any false teachers that go against the word of God. We live in a time when this has never been more simple to do. It is so easy to hear and read false teachers today. Christian bookstores are full of them. Television and the internet make it so easy to listen to false preachers. And we often make excuses that these preachers speak to us in ways that our own called pastors can't. They address topics or tickle our emotions in such a way as to turn a blind eye away from those things that aren't in conformity with God's word. But just like those preachers who preach falsely, God warns us that He will not hold us guilty for misusing His name. In other words, He threatens all who would preach falsely and all who would listen to preachers uncritically with punishment. This petition also informs the way that we ought to live our lives as well, more than just our doctrine. God gives us His holy name and calls us to live according to His word. When we don't, we bring shame to His name. This is easy for us to understand, especially if you're a parent. If you have children, have your children ever done anything to embarrass you? Please don't answer that question now. Just think about your answer. For though the way that our children behave is a reflection upon the way that we parent. It necessarily is. The way our children behave in public reflects on us as parents. In the same way, since we are called Christians, that is, those who follow after Christ, the way we behave in others reflects on God as our Father. When we fail to live according to His word, we fail to condemn sins that He condemns for fear of being mocked, others do see us doing these things. Whether we care to admit it or not, people are watching us, knowing that we call ourselves Christians. When we don't wear that badge rightly, they notice it. Our failure to live a holy life makes us hypocrites in their eyes, and our failure to condemn sin is seen as acceptance of those sins. For example, when we allow other priorities to keep us from the Sunday morning service, other people do see that. It's telling them that whatever it may be is more important to us than our Christian faith. And unfortunately, our kids also see this failure too. And so, when we pray the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," we are asking that God would enable us to hear the pure and true teaching of his word and help us also to live holy lives according to it. This is why Luther in the Small Catechism adds those two little phrases that I especially love. "Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven," and "protect us from this, heavenly Father." If we are left alone to make sure that the doctrine we hear is pure and the way that we live is in accord with that doctrine, we would most certainly fail. But when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," God answers our prayers. And he grants us his Holy Spirit to live according to that word and to protect us both from false teaching and ungodly living. Jesus answers us. He says, in fact, in our gospel reading for today, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And so in answer to this prayer, God ensures that men are trained in his word that they might bring it to his people. In fact, the fact that I am standing here this morning and Sunday after Sunday, or any pastor that's ever stood in this pulpit, is a response to that prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." In response to this prayer, God raises up faithful parents to teach their children the Ten Commandments, that they too would also lead a holy and God-pleasing life. In addition to those things, God also, as we sang at the beginning of our service, opens our lips to sing his praises. Without his word and gifts, that is, without the aid of the Holy Spirit, we would not know God's name or how to sing his praises rightly. In enabling us to do so, God's glory goes out into all the world, and his kingdom comes to us and even expands. And so, it is also in answer to this prayer that God is granting us 3 baptisms and 3 adult confirmations in the month of June. Praise be to God. You see, without God's aid, these things would not happen. But the other assurance that we have as Christians when it comes to prayer is that God already knows what we need, even before we ask him. This means that when we ask for things in accord with God's will, as we see them in the commandments or the various parts of the Lord's Prayer, we can be confident that God will provide what we need for this life and for eternal life to come. He has already promised to do so in the very blood that Christ has poured out for us upon the cross. It is by his holy and precious blood that Christ has entered into the most holy place and carries our prayers before the Father. The Father, who Jesus says loves you, has sent his Son into the world to redeem you. And he gives you all things needed because his blood has cleansed us from all sins. It is for the sake of Jesus that God loves you and answers your prayers. This means, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we approach God with prayer to help us to hallow his name, we know that in Christ Jesus, God has and will continue to grant us what we ask, that our joy in him may be full. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.